visiting. Today we're on a series called Fruitfulness on the Front Line, where we're having a look at, on a Sunday, at certain themes. We've looked at how we were created to be fruitful, how Israel was called to be a vineyard, how we looked at how we respond to the kingdom in our everyday life. And today we're going to look at how we abide in the vine, that Jesus, of that vineyard, Jesus is the true vine. And we're going to be talking about abiding in the vine. So we're going to look at John 15, chapter 15, which we're going to read in a minute, the first eight verses. The nitty-gritty meets the road, if you like, you know, and how we could be fruitful and support each other in our everyday lives in showing forth the fact that Jesus has loved us so much that he's restored us to communion with him. Okay, let's read chapter 15 of John's Gospel. I'm the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser or the gardener. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of my word that is spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. For as the branch cannot bear fruit on itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone doesn't abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch, gathered up and put into the fire. And they are burnt. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Father, we just ask you that you'd be with us as we look into your word. It's a bit haphazard, a bit thrown together in a late stage, Lord, but we ask you to speak to us. We ask you to touch our hearts and say what you will to us today. In your name, Lord. Amen. Okay, start with a joke. Always start with a joke. You've probably heard this joke. It's about a polar bear. And the polar bear goes up to his mummy polar bear and he says, "Mummy, mummy, mummy, am I a true polar bear?" And mummy bear says, "Of course you are, dear. Now off you go." And he runs over to his daddy and he says, "Daddy, daddy, daddy, am I a true polar bear?" And his daddy says, "Of course you are, son. Off you go." And he goes around all his family asking all this and they're getting a bit concerned. So they all gather together and get him in front and they say, "Son, why are you so worried?" And he said, "Look, if I'm a truly, truly, truly true polar bear, why am I so cold?" When I read this chapter, I think of that thing because I don't know about you, but I'm a bit sort of pessimistic, if you like. But I think I go around to people and say, "Am I a true Christian?" And so-and-so says, "Of course you are, Graham." And I go to so-and-so and say, "Am I a true Christian?" And I say, "If I'm a true Christian, where's my fruit?" And if we're honest, we all feel a bit like that at times, don't we? That we sort of let down the Lord, "Where's my fruit?" And behind there, there's a darker question lurking, or a threat, if you like, or a worry. And if I ain't got any fruit, am I truly his? With no real evidence of fruit, let alone much fruit, do I truly belong? Well, we're going to have a look at that as we have a little wander around in that thought. Firstly, on our own, we can't produce any fruit that God desires. On our own, we're dead to God. We're dead to his ways, dead to his life. We're just dead. We need to be joined to Jesus to produce fruit. We need to be born again of his spirit. For it's only being joined to Jesus that we can produce the fruit that he's after. You've got no hope on your own. He wants us to produce the life in us. So the question for some of us is, have we been born again? Have we called on the Lord for salvation? Because without his life joining our life and our life being joined to him, we can't produce any fruit. You know, it's possible to be arrested, if you like, by the gospel, to be attracted by the gospel, even to be turned around so much by the gospel, and yet not yet be saved. In my own life, when I first heard of Jesus and all that he'd done, I was probably about 18 when I first started hearing stuff, and it took about 2 years of delving in, finding out, being attracted, before I finally gave my heart to the Lord, and the Lord took me to himself. We can be on the way, but not quite there yet. We turned from stuff. We can see that there is no purpose, true purpose or fulfillment in what's out there. We've looked at job, ambition, fame, fortune, all those sorts of things. Whatever's out there, we've looked at them and we can see, well, they don't seem to have what they are. But what has Jesus got? There's something in Jesus that's attracting me. And I went along quite a while in that way until I finally realized that I really needed to give my life to him, to ask him to come and be my Lord so that I could be saved. We're turning away from the way we were going, but we're not yet necessarily truly there. See, salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb who sits on the throne. Jesus says that the Father raises the dead and gives life to whom he will. Even so, the Son gives life to whom he wishes. To be saved is to receive from Jesus his life in us by the Spirit. We call on him and receive on him, from him, the gift of life. And who does he wish to give it to? That verse says he gives it to who he wishes. Well, he gives it to whoever asks, whosoever asks. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever asks and whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. And whoever believes in him, the Son gives the right to that person to become a son and a daughter of God. We repent of our way and call on him and receive from Jesus life by the power of his Holy Spirit. And when that life comes into us, there's a passage in the Bible that expresses it like this. He gives us beauty for ashes. Gives us oil of joy for mourning. Garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. Can you see what's happening? Even as the life of God is given to us, fruit begins. Because it can't help but begin. Because it's not us that produce the fruit. It's the life of God within us. So we get beauty instead of ashes, joy instead of mourning, praise instead of heaviness. And we begin to show forth fruit right from the moment we ask Jesus to come into our lives. So why? So that we might be trees of righteousness, planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And how is he glorified? Back to where we started. The Father is glorified
by him producing fruit through us, so that we show that we are his disciples. So it's natural. The same as when the branch is joined to the vine gives life to the branch grows and produces fruit. If it's not joined to the vine, it can't do it. Once it is joined, it will do it. I hear the rest of you say, well, yeah, but what about me? I've known the Lord for years. Where's my much fruit? I don't see much evidence in my life. Well, I want to tell you that you might not see it, but others do, and God does. There was a story in a home group, wasn't there, about the lady who had a terrible boss at work, and she didn't know how to cope. She tried her best. She prayed for him. She did this, she did the other. But in the end, she just felt a total failure, and she walked out. And then somebody else came in and took her job, and in about a day or so phoned her up and said, how did you manage to stay with this guy? He's a dragon. He's awful. But then she also said, but everybody here says that how well you treated him, how you were like an angel towards him. The people around her saw the fruit that she was producing, even though she thought she'd failed. And it's often like that in our lives. We don't see the gifts of fruit that God's building in us and demonstrating through us. Others see it. God sees it. But we sort of don't. You know, I think we're sort of made that way in a sense. Or we become like that. Even in our relationships, don't we? Together, it's hard to... We're more conscious of letting the other person down than we are of, I don't know, showing them good, you know, being grateful to them. It's the same with God. We're more aware of our shortcomings rather than what he's building in us and he's growing. Because I want to stand here and I want to tell you that if you're joined to Jesus, fruit is growing. I think God has made us like that so that we stay more like the publican than the Pharisee. Remember the story? The Pharisee's praying, oh, I'm so glad I'm not like that sinner over there. I'm so glad I tithe. I'm so glad I do this. I'm so glad I do that. I'm full of his own righteousness. And Jesus said that God didn't even hear him. But the publican over in the other corner is going, oh, I'm a sinner, Lord. I know I'm a sinner. Jesus said that God answers him and hears him. God keeps us lowly. Because that is fruit in itself, that recognition of our poverty before God. Jesus said, blessed are you who are poor in spirit. Blessed are you who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed. And it's the beginning of fruit. When we realize it's not of us, it's all of God. In fact, it is by listening to Jesus' words and what he says about us and things that we grow and produce fruit. Jesus says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall produce fruit. You know, we've sort of concentrated, if you like, quickly, I know today, but on the idea that without God, we can't. We can't produce fruit without God. We can't do it without God. Without God, we can't. But the saying is, by St. Augustine, that saying is, has another flip side to it, which goes, without God, I can't. But without me, God doesn't seem to want to. In other words, we have a part to play in the production of fruit as well. He wants us to be involved with him. Passage goes on to say, no longer do I call you slaves. If slaves don't know what's going on, but I call you friends. And do you know what? Friends work together. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. That's our part. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's God's part. We need to realize that God wants us to be his friend, to partner with him, to be involved in the production of the fruit within our lives that will happen as we are joined to him. How? Well, we need to spend more time with him. Waiting in his presence, worshipping him, reading and hearing his words, allowing them to shape us and change us, allowing them to bring forth life. Because when his words and his presence are within us and we dwell within them, we can't help but produce the fruit. That's what he says. As you join to me, you'll produce. And he said some wonderful things about us, you know. Listen to just a few. We can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. He supplies all our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. I'm strong in the strength of his might. He always leads me in triumph. How can I be down when I recall his loving kindness and his grace toward me and the beloved? Why should I worry when he calls me to cast all my anxieties on him, on Jesus who cares for me? Why should we feel alone? He's always with us. He's promised. Why should we feel failures when we are more than conquerors through him who loved us? How can we not produce fruit when God is so obviously with us and for us? And finally, we produce the fruit that the Father is due because he has promised it. The end of the verse, we didn't read it, but verse 16 says, you didn't choose me, I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain so that whatever you ask the Father, he may give you. You didn't choose me, I chose you, I've appointed you to bear fruit. And that fruit will remain. So yes, sometimes we feel, am I really pushing on? And there's always better we can do, isn't there? But know that God's at work within you to produce the fruit that he wants to produce. And that he's promised that it will come to pass. God has said it. And he doesn't lie. So let's decide today that we are going to learn to abide more in the presence of Jesus. Determined to hold his words before us and allow them to become part of us. Meditate upon what he says about us and what we're up to. If you would like any prayer or anything about fruit in your life or whatever, or if you haven't yet given your heart to Jesus and you'd like to, then why not today? Today is the day of salvation. But let's just spend the last 5 minutes reflecting on that and determining in our heart that we're going to push on because God is for us and he is good all the time.